Let the whole church say amen. Everybody ought to hold on to His unchanging hand. I want to thank Brother Miles for those spirited songs today. You know, it's good when you can have some good singing. Some good singing will kind of bring you, uplift you, and hopefully the preaching will further uplift you. And we just want to thank Him for doing His best on today. Let us go to God in prayer this morning. Thank You, O Lord, Almighty God of heaven. You have blessed us once again, O Lord. You have made our path, our crooked path straight. You have blessed us to be here once more, O Heavenly Father. You have given us strength, wisdom, and knowledge. You gave us Your love, You gave us Your grace, and You gave us Your mercy, and we thank You for that. We thank You for this congregation here, and we especially pray for the leaders of this congregation and their families. We pray for those brethren who have taken part in the services thus far, and we pray for those who shall come from this point on. We thank You, O Heavenly Father, that many of those who were out on last week are back. We know we're still not operating at full capacity, but nevertheless, we thank You anyway for coming back and being back with us. We thank You, O Heavenly Father, that God has blessed us, that You have blessed us to be able to be among the land of the living. Thank You, Lord. Father, we pray for those who are sick and shut in. We pray for those who are not doing as well as they would like to. But we know, Father, that it's all in Your hands anyway. Thank You, O Heavenly Father. And Lord, just continue to bless each and every one of us in here this morning as we move into the next portion of our services. Thank You, O Heavenly Father, and we pray for those who have our futures in their hand, the politicians who make rules and regulations and laws, and we just pray that they not make any laws that would prevent us from worshiping You in spirit and in truth. We thank You, O Heavenly Father, that we live in a country that's free to worship as we want to. Thank You, O Lord. And now, my Heavenly Father, as we go ahead and move into the next portion of our service, we thank You for everything You have done for us and everything You shall continue to do for us. And it's in the name of Your Son, Jesus, we ask it all. Amen. This morning, the scripture was read for your hearing from Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 17. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. So this morning, we want to talk for a few minutes, redeeming God's time. The people of God are different from non-believers. And because we are different, the Bible, the book of Titus calls us a peculiar people. Peculiar means we are out of the ordinary. We believe in things that most people would say that can't be real. For example, we believe that all things are possible with God. None of the people believe that all things are possible with God. A lot of people don't believe that all these things are possible with God. When we notice our text for today, it speaks to us of making or redeeming time, which means that we should not live for our lives. We should not live our lives foolishly. Instead, we are to make the most of it. It means we are not to waste our time, but live it as though the Lord may call us out of this life to come home and be with Him at any time. So this morning, as we look at, and you'll notice something. I didn't say redeeming your time. The King James Version says, redeeming the time because the days are evil, because it's not your time, it's God's time. The value of time. The older one gets, the more we learn to appreciate time. Age, for most of us, causes us to see things differently. You learn to appreciate the beauty of life and its preciousness. We think to ourselves how wonderful it is that God has allowed us to make each and every hour of every day. When we were young, many of us took life for granted. In other words, the more time we have, the more time we think we have, the more it takes us, the longer it takes us to realize that time is not ours forever. It belongs to God. In verse 16, the Bible tells us, making the most of time because the days are evil. Why are they evil? Because the days are, because they are troublesome. And if you'll notice that during the time of this text, Christians were in danger of persecution. Today, God's time that He has allowed us to use must never be taken for granted. We do not live in the fear of persecution like those people did. But we face a crowd, a cruel world that's nevertheless. So we need to value what time we do have. We need to redeem that time that we do have. Because we don't have much time. I'll give you an example. If one lives to be 100 years old, it still does not compare to how long eternity is. The days of our lives are spoken to us in Psalms 90 and verse number 10, where the Bible tells us 70 years and if by reason of strength we live to 80, yet is there sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. We are but stewards of God's time. We have been loaned God's time. We have been loaned the time for God, from God, and when we are stewards, we need to learn that stewards don't own it. We just have been allowed to use this time. And yes, one day we shall have to give an account of the days which we were, the time which we were loaned. In Romans 14 and verse number 12, the Bible says, every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. In other words, the time must be left that is left in our care must be accounted for. We must learn to redeem time. As we as Christians have faith and believe in the Word of God. So when the Bible tells us to make the most of our time in our text, we must accept the truth and follow it. The only way we can live eternally with the Lord is to follow His commandment and His commandments and His instructions. Do you remember how mean Saul was, but he was changed by the word of the Lord? He was told in Acts chapter 9 and verse number 6 by Jesus to rise up and enter the city, and it should be told you what you must do. This man had a reputation that was feared among the believers of that time. Didn't God fix him, no church? God to enter into our lives, when we allow God to enter into our lives and believe on Him and be baptized in the watery grave of baptism, we must be baptized for the remission of our sins. Then we can receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Then we can become engaged in the services of the Lord. We can become hard-fighting soldiers on the battlefield, bringing others to Him. But we must be sure that we are His. By the words of 2 Peter 1 and verse number 10, wherefore, brethren, be all of the more diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fail. In other words, make sure you yourself understand that you are one of God's children before you try to teach me how to be God's child. This requires diligence on our part and as well as work. When we become believers in Christ, the Spirit bears witness to us and to us with our spirit, and we are children of God. Romans 8, verses 16. So the question today is this. Are you redeeming your time, God's time, wisely? When we redeem our time, we need to make sure that we're using it wisely. The text is speaking to those who are believers, so for anyone who is not a follower or a believer of Christ, they need to take inventory of themselves. Head to someone who can teach the gospel to you. Believe the gospel, repent of your past sin, confess Christ to be the Son of the living God, then be buried with Christ in water. And I suggest that nobody waits for tomorrow, for it is not promised to us. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and the verses number 2. Now, not the next day. Now, not the next week. But now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. So I say to you this morning, we've got to accept the will of God. I would lace up, if you're not a member of the Lord, you're not a believer in the Lord, I would lace up my best running shoes, not walking shoes, head straight for Christ and His church. There are three stages that we have to learn to prioritize. In the first stage, this is when the young stage where folk might say, we have plenty of time to get right with God. In the Middle Ages, they come to realize that life is moving on swiftly. And the final stage is what I call the golden years, where one realizes that time is almost over. And whatever decision we need to make needs to be made now, sooner, rather than later. So I ask you this morning, which stage do you fall into? Which stage are you under right now? And remember, nobody can redeem time for you. Nobody at all. In Psalms 49 and verse 7, no one by any means redeem his brother nor give God a ransom for him. You've got to work for yourself. You've got to ask God to bless you and that you may become a child of God. Each and every one of us must redeem our own time. That is the own time that God has loaned to us. This is the logic of every man. He must save his own soul. Live right, redeem God's time, and if you live faithfully till the end, you can receive a crown. You might receive a crown and be diligent with God's time, because there are many things can throw us off the track, such as carelessness, wrong priorities. People can throw you off. Did you know that? People can throw you off, and above all, procrastination. How many times have you heard people say, I would do it right now, but I just don't think I'm ready. What are you waiting for? You may not get another chance to get ready. So I asked the question this morning in the text. The text says, see that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. You see that? You got to be wise. Wherefore be redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore you be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Be not unwise. Now when you think about that, that says something. Be not unwise. That means you need to put your best foot forward. No matter what somebody tells you, you've got to go by the Bible. You've got to hear what the Word of God says. And you've got to do what the Word of God says. You've got to live out your own life and work out your own soul salvation. You've got to work diligently that your soul be saved for yourself. I can't save it for you. Your parents can't save it for you. Your spouse can't save it for you. None of us can save another soul. We've got to save our own soul. So when you think about it, you ask yourself this question. Out of those three stages I mentioned to you, which stage do you fall in? Are you saying to yourself, I got plenty of time? Are you saying to yourself that it doesn't make any difference? I've got enough time to wait on it. Are you saying to yourself, I'm in my middle ages and I things look more beautiful? You know, I never thought about how beautiful flowers were until I got older. Now I see how beautiful flowers are. I see how the sky is blue and how peaceful the sky looks. I see how good God is to us. I see God's handiwork every time I look around. And I think to myself, I didn't have to be here. Neither did you. We did not have to be here. You know how many people started on this same road the same time we did, and many of them are not here today. But nevertheless, God has blessed us to continue to be here. Now, He may take us at any moment. We don't know when, but it behooves us to think and make sure that God, that we're on God's side. And when you're on God's side, you can't go wrong. So I ask the question once again, which stage do you fall in, and are you letting people get in your way? You know, that's a sad commentary when somebody allows someone else to get in their way of coming to the Lord. That's a sad commentary when they let carelessness get in the way, or wrong priorities, or procrastination. I tell you something. When you procrastinate, you have to ask yourself one question when you procrastinate. Am I putting off what I can do for today for what I can do tomorrow? You don't want to do that. Because God is not promising you tomorrow. Tomorrow is not promised to you. And when you think about it, the Bible says, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And then it goes further in verse 18. I'll just read verse 18. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now I'll tell you something. Even though time changed this morning, y'all get out quickly today, because I don't feel very good this morning. And I'm going to shorten this up. And I should have an extra hour, but I'm not going to take my extra hour. I'll take it next time. But since I don't feel very well, and maybe you don't feel very well either, but nevertheless, God is still good to us. God is awfully good to us. I'm so glad that when I looked out on the audience this morning that I saw more people. And that makes me to realize that the weather is breaking. It's not broken, but it's breaking. It's still going to snow this week according to the weatherman. It's still going to be cold according to the weatherman. But nevertheless, God knows His schedule that He puts us on. He knows when to send sunshine. He knows when to send rain and snow. But nevertheless, all we can do is be thankful for it and understand that He is in charge of all weather. It was mentioned in Bible class this morning about the natural disasters. And that is true. When God wants to get our attention, don't you think He knows how to get our attention? He knows definitely how to get our attention. Now, look at that airline on Friday or yesterday, whenever it was. What happened to that airplane? It's a mystery. Now, I'm not going to speculate on why that happened, but I'm simply going to say that it's a mystery that it did happen. And we've got to learn that God's will always be done. And somebody said, well, how come it couldn't have been some evil men on there that caused that? It could have been. But nevertheless, God knows what He's doing. And I don't question Him. I don't question God's ability and God's wondrous amazement for no reason. So when you think about it, if you're not a member of the Lord's church, you come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized, and then if you've already a member but you've walked astray, we'll take your confession and ask the church to pray for you as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.
Number 667, there is power in the blood. Would you be free from the burden of sin?